Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com.
Welcome to Live the Promise. This is Bill Arnold sitting in for Susie Larson today. Susie, we miss you. Everyone misses you. But I'm glad to be here sitting in for you. We had a fascinating first hour. We were talking to J. Warner Wallace. He helped us take a look at the hard evidence for Christianity. He's a Christian apologist. It was a great conversation. I used up nearly all of my brain power talking to him, which I didn't have a lot to start with. But if you missed that hour, you can find the podcast online at myfaithradio.com. This hour, we're going to be talking to a fitness expert, my good friend Clark Bartram. He is what I consider America's most trusted fitness expert. He is a fitness guru, a husband, a father, and a devoted follower of Jesus. And I first met Clark, let's see, it was 1996, I think, when the Billy Graham Crusade came to Minneapolis. And Billy Graham decided they wanted to evangelize everybody, and that included everyone that was incarcerated. And I was doing some prison ministry at the time, and Clark also was hired to do prison ministry on the same campaign. And I would go in and tell a few jokes, and Clark would rip up a phone book, break a bat over his knee, straighten out a horseshoe with his hands, and other carnival stunts, which I never gotten involved with because I don't like hurting myself. But we have had a great time doing prison ministry together. I know we've probably been in about 80 prisons together sharing the gospel, and Clark will get everyone's attention immediately when he shows up because of his physical prowess. And welcome to the show, Clark.
I'm very excited to be here, Bill, but you didn't mention that the jokes you told were not good ones.
Really?
They were not funny at all. So I was there in support of you to help you with my quote-unquote carnival stunt. So we were a great team.
So you were cleaning up my mess.
You know, Ben and Jerry or whatever.
Right. So you were cleaning up the mess that I had made, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So, no, but you were doing strength exhibitions, which obviously in prison is going to carry a lot of weight because, you know, they all think they're tough. Everybody in prison thinks they got their mojo going. And then you come in and rip up a phone book, straighten out a horseshoe. They were captivated. I mean, I was bored, but they were captivated. And that was a fun ministry, wasn't it?
It was so much fun, you know, and to say that ministry is fun, like, you know, it's a double win. You know, you get to go and affect people's lives and you get to hang out with people that you like being around. And you have fun doing what God intended you to do. And that's what we both were doing. You know, I was doing the strength stuff, and you were telling the jokes and doing the magic and all that sort of thing. And it really worked out to be a very effective pairing, especially with the other people that we had on the, you know, the team as well. You know, we had
Dave
singers
and
other people that would come along, athletes that would share their testimony. So it was a great time.
Yeah, it really was. Now, Clark, you've been around the fitness industry for, I don't know, how many years now?
Well, it seems like my whole entire life, but professionally, I've been doing this since I left the Marine Corps in 1984. I got my first job as a fitness instructor at Family Fitness Center in 1984. So it's evolved from, you know, showing people around the club as just a tour guide to being a trainer, to being a television personality, a magazine guy, and, you know, now hopefully an authority in the industry. I don't like the name expert so much or guru, but I'm just a guy that's really passionate about what I do. And I do realize, you know, honestly, that God made me for this purpose. And I'm really stepping out God's plan for my life because I'm using the gift that I've been given, almost like Moses in a way. You know, he had the staff in his hand. He's like, but, you know, what do I have? And he's like, use what's in your hand and what's available to you. Mm-hmm. And for you, it was comedy. And for me, it was fitness. And you're right. You know, being in the prisons, guys really are drawn to the strength. Everyone works out. They want to get stronger. So having me being a part of that was definitely an area that helped kind of fulfill the whole pie, if you will, of people that were there to really make a change in people's lives who are hurting.
Yeah. Now, Clark, on Susie's show, she loves to talk scripture, and she always asks every guest to share a piece of scripture that's been on their heart, something that they've been meditating on lately. Has anything come to mind for you?
Yeah, you know, with respect to what we've been talking about here, I still go and I still do the prisons, and more specifically, I go to the youth centers. I go to East Mesa Juvenile Detention Center, and just the other day there, I was there, Bill, and this scripture came on my heart, and I think it's really relevant for the guys that we talk to in the prisons. It's 1 Corinthians 10:13, where it says, "No sin has seized you but what is common to you." So I tell the guys, listen, you're going to get out of here. So nothing's going to come your way but what's common to you. So if you smoke drugs, that's going to be what comes your way.
Mm-hmm.
If you drink alcohol, if you do whatever, that's going to be what the devil uses to attack you. But the beauty is, it says, but God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can handle. So then I go on to talk about, you know, how they might think they're alone, but they're never alone. There's always someone around somewhere that's willing to offer them help. And then it goes on to say, when you are tempted, he'll provide a way out. So we always have to take that way out. So that, to me, has been a scripture reference that I use when I'm speaking to these guys. And it's good for me, too. It's good for everyone to realize that no sin is seized you but what is common to you. But God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can handle. And when you are, that's saying that you will be by something that's common to you, he will provide a way out. And it's up to us to choose that way out. And if we break it down like that, it makes life seem so much more manageable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of Scripture, is that we look at it at face value and break it down, and we don't just read it to get our 15 minutes in a day, but we actually apply it to our life with some sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
It really works, you know?
Yeah, that's a lot of wisdom, Clark, coming out of you.
Well, that's why you brought me on the show.
That's true. Yeah. So let's tell our listeners how you had a conversion, born-again experience. How did you come to faith?
Well, yeah, it was through the Strength Ministry. It was a group called the Power Team, and it was 1984, and I was at a crossroads in my life, to say the least, and I was actually crying out to God. And my prayer was, God, you don't know me. If you're sending these Christian people into my life who I can't relate to, I can't believe in, I can't see eye to eye with, I just don't think there's a place in your quote-unquote kingdom for me. I hear you got all the hairs on my head numbered and all that stuff. I heard it all.
Mm-hmm.
But one day I dropped to my knees, literally, and I prayed for God to send somebody specifically into my life that could talk to me. Clark Bartram, Mr. Bodybuilder, 230 pounds of muscle, you know, womanizer, the whole bit, all of this. And one day I'm sitting in the gym, a powerhouse gym in Escondido, California, and a little lady about 4'11" walked in and asked if she could hang a poster up. And I said, absolutely, go ahead. And specifically this day, I was really struggling. And when she unrolled that poster, it was a group called the Power Team. Some people might recognize that. It's a group of athletes, really big, strong guys. They go around and do the same thing that I did. And there was a scripture paraphrased at the bottom. It was 1 Corinthians 9:23. And the scripture reference said, God made you to win. And when I saw these guys with their big muscles lined up, and I saw that 1 Corinthians 9:23 at the bottom of that poster, and I read, God made you to win. Right then, God said, okay, you don't think I know you? You don't think I really do have the hairs on your head number?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think all the cliches that you've heard every quote-unquote Christian that you can't relate to are true? Then here we go, tough guy. And one by one, these guys started walking into my gym until one specifically came in, and my heart said, talk to him right now.
Hmm.
And that's what I did. I interrupted him in the middle of his workout, and I asked if I could talk to him, and he put down his 80-pound dumbbells, and I began to share where I was at, and I started to cry in the middle of the gym. And the guy, you know, reached out and hugged me, and that was the beginning of my transformation in life, my salvation, where God met me where I was, specifically through me challenging God, like, you don't know me, and God does, man. And he sent somebody specifically to me that I could relate to perfectly in an effort to get my attention, to get me back on the right track. Well, get me on the right track, because the crossroads would have taken me one way or the other. And thankfully, those guys showed up in my town that night, and that was the beginning of it. You know, and I pay homage to those guys by doing the type of ministry that you and I experienced when we were going in the prisons together.
Mm-hmm. So, Clark, I find it interesting because here you are, you're 230 pounds, you're winning bodybuilding contests, and now you have a track record of being on maybe 150 covers of international fitness and bodybuilding magazines. Does that sound about right?
It's close, yeah.
Yeah, it's close enough. Yeah, I lost track, too.
We'll just put it that.
I've seen a lot. But you said to God specifically, you need to send somebody that's going to get my attention. And I think the guy that came in that you talked to was a little bit bigger, appeared a little bit tougher, and maybe was a little bit better looking than you, which I find hard to believe.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. When the guy walked in and I looked at him, he could have, and this is no exaggeration. I know, you know, people say evangelistic, we stretch the truth, and we're not specific. I'm being very specific in what I'm telling you here. This guy walked in, he could have been my older brother. I was 230 at the time, he was probably 260. I'm all 5'8", he was probably 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Canton, Ohio, home of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. When I got to know this guy, I realized that he played professional football. He was very handsome. He was very muscular. Mm-hmm. He was everything that I thought a man should be, but he had something that was not visible on the outside as far as his aesthetics were concerned, but it showed up very, very visibly in the spiritual realm around him, the aura or the energy or whatever people want to call it, or God's presence on this man's life was enough to say, that is the guy. You need to talk to him, to the point where I was behind that front desk, pacing around like a caged animal, knowing that he was back there and I needed to go back and speak to him, but I was ashamed, I was embarrassed, I was afraid, I was intimidated. I didn't know what to do. And then finally, I just said, I got to go. And he was literally in the middle of his set. You know, in gym etiquette, dictates
never interrupt a workout.
Interrupt people.
No.
But I did. And he put those weights down because he was there specifically to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably realized that as well, because when we locked eyes, and this is not even 1 ounce of exaggeration, we both knew that this something was happening on a level that I certainly didn't understand, and that he knew that he was, you know, meant there to do.
Yeah.
And they invited me out to the meeting that night and had front row seats for me, and they began to share the gospel. And I heard in John 3:3, you know, you must first be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And I thought, because I was a nice guy, I didn't hurt anyone, that was good enough. And they broke it down in a very elementary level for a guy like me, who wasn't very schooled in church, who didn't know, who only went to church because I needed to, or I wanted to get a girl's attention or whatever. It was broken down in such a way that I could understand that all of what I was doing in life, being a quote unquote nice guy, was not enough to earn my way into heaven, that I had to accept the salvation that was being presented to me that night in the form of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins and everybody in the world. They explained it.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave that evangelistic count on one, if God's knocking on your heart. And I'm telling you what, the knocking on my heart, the pounding in my soul, the conversation in my mind, the turmoil in my spirit was so alive that night. By the time he got to three, I did not realize I walked down to the altar, and I did not realize that there were probably 300 people around me. I thought I was the only one there. And when they looked at me and pointed me out, it continued to go on. It was such a magical moment for me in my life. And it's something that, unless somebody had gone through that type of transformation or salvation experience in their life, it's really hard for anyone to grasp their mind. And I'm sure, Bill, a lot of your listeners have experienced the same thing, and they're shaking their head like, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So you got your Timothys and you got your Sauls. You know, I was certainly a Saul experience. I wasn't the guy who was raised up in the church and had the upbringing and knew that and had this very gradual transformation. Mine was very, you know, the lightning bolt coming down, getting knocked off the horse and falling on my butt, looking up going, okay, you got my attention.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to take a really short break. When we come back, we're going to have lots more with Clark Bartram today. Thanks for listening to Live the Promise. This is Bill Arnold sitting in for Susie. Be back in just a minute. Welcome back to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold sitting in for Susie today. And we're having a workout here in studio. We're talking to Clark Bartram, fitness expert. Clark, you know, New Year's resolutions are starting to wane in people's lives because it's already close to February, and a lot of people went in with a lot of enthusiasm, and now they're starting to drop off, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not even sure why people make New Year's resolutions anymore. It seems like such a habitual type of thing that people only do it to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they don't really commit to them.
Mm-hmm. What about the people that are, you know, constantly saying, I need to lose weight, I need to lose weight, but they don't want to do the hard work of diet and exercise. They're still looking for the magic pill. I think the average is most people are carrying around an extra 17 pounds. And obviously that's going to sap your energy, and it's going to make it more difficult for you to, you know, do your job well or be an effective minister for the Lord.
It does a multitude of things. Really, you know, it's my opinion that when somebody is not at their best physically, and that doesn't mean looking like a fitness model or bikini model. I want to put that disclaimer out there right away.
No,
there
I agree.
A lot of people who are bigger, who are very healthy and are living in a healthy body, but it doesn't manifest itself in looking like a fitness model.
Right.
So let's get that out of the way.
But, checked off the list.
You know,
okay.
Yeah, it's important that people determine their why, and they have to have a very good why. And what I was saying is, I believe when you're not fit, it shuts down a part of your spirit. It really shuts down a part of who God made you to be and how you interact with the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, if you're not an effective minister of the gospel, so if you're not feeling comfortable with the body that you're in, you're probably not going to be as happy as you could be, and you're probably not going to be as energetic or as desiring to go off and share positivity. Let's just call it positivity with people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of you not feeling good, then that can be fixed. That's the beautiful thing.
Yeah,
is you have to start by loving yourself first. And I talked about that today. I do something called Monday Morning Mindset every Monday morning. And today I talked about positive energy and how you have positive energy. You have to start off by loving yourself first. And if you can do that, regardless of your weight, whether it's up, down, or perfect, you have to love yourself first the way God created you. And then from there, you determine your why. And your why needs to be deeper than, I want to look good in a bathing suit, or I want to get back at that girl who was mean to me in my high school at the reunion. Or a lot of these surface level reasons are not reason enough to keep people going through the times that fitness gets hard, because eating right's not always easy. It's not always fun, but the rewards you get from eating right and putting in that effort are far outweigh, you know, the sacrifice of not eating pizza or having a piece of cake at a party. It's well worth the energy and the effort and the focus that you put into concentrating on yourself, because here's the truth. You only get one body in life. You know, you only get one body. And when your body begins to shut down, it's a sad thing. And I know, Bill, you're experiencing that in your life right now with someone very close to you. And
you're talking
seeing
about me.
It firsthand.
Yeah. Well, I take a swing at you.
Here's my opinion on a lot of this. A lot of the issues and the maladies that people suffer through in life are self-induced. They put it on themselves because
yeah.
the choices they make add up to them being incapacitated later on in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times there are physical things that happen as a result of, you know, certain chemistries in the bodies and things like that. But if you go into a lot of old folks' homes or places where people are being cared for in a skilled nursing facility or whatever, you see a lot of diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And diabetes can be controlled through proper diet.
Mm-hmm.
And these people probably have been warned throughout their life, hey, change your diet, stop doing this, stop doing that. And they don't. And I've seen the other hand as well, when people have been, hey, change your diet and we can get you off this medication,
mm-hmm.
and they do it. So the proof is definitely there that with a little bit of focus and a little bit of attention and the right reasons, you can definitely change the outlook of your health for the better if you so choose to. And that's the key word, is choose.
Right.
We can choose the right way or the wrong way. And unfortunately, in this life, in this world, in this country, a lot of people choose the wrong way.
Yeah.
And that's where guys like me come in, you know, and I share information and hope and encouragement and you know, and other things that I hope will help them think the right way,
mm-hmm.
get back on track.
Now, Clark, I don't want to make you Captain Bring Down here, but I heard a fitness person say you can't compete with what you eat. And it's probably you're really true. I mean, if you want to lose 1 pound, I think you have to do 22,000 sit-ups to burn off 1 pound of energy. And you think about people talking about, well, I want to have fun in life and I want to be able to enjoy, you know, this and that. And I always think, well, then stop complaining about the 20 pounds you want to lose. I mean, I think you can't have it both ways. How do you add balance to life where you enjoy things and then, you know, you don't get out of control with your eating, because the eating is the critical component in all of this, isn't it?
It's 100%. People often ask me, hey, if there was a pie, no pun intended, in front of you, how much would nutrition play and how much of that pie would it take up? I used to say 80%, but
mm-hmm.
now I say 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, because people choose these behaviors. They justify eating certain things because they did a certain amount of, you know, effort in the gym, when all you're doing is treading water or barely keeping your head above water to where you can just breathe enough to survive.
Mm-hmm.
if you really want to make it, the word you used was balance, and you have to have balance. And how do we find balance? Well, that's tough. Everyone's going to be different. There's no magic way to find balance, but like you mentioned earlier, there's certainly not a magic pill. And you must first understand your relationship with food. And once you do understand your relationship with food, are you an emotional eater? Okay, let's deal with the emotion and then go drill down to dealing with how you interact with food. What are your triggers? What causes you to eat? You know, do you sit at night in front of the television because you're bored and you like having a crunchy snack, so you eat a bag of chips, or you enjoy ice cream? Listen, you don't have to stop eating those things once you find your balance. And it's going to take some effort. It's going to take some discipline. It's going to take some hard work to get that balance. But like I said earlier, it's so worth the energy that you put forth. And I deal with people on a daily basis. I have a private Facebook page that I manage for a program that I'm launching right now. And I can't begin to tell you the times when people have this Oprah aha moment where they finally connect. When they finally connect and understand why they do what they do and what their triggers are in life, and they deal with those triggers. Mm-hmm. And most people say, I'm an emotional eater. Mm-hmm. I eat when I'm happy. I eat when I'm sad. I eat when I'm lonely. I eat when I'm, you know, angry. Mm-hmm. So people resort to food. Here's the bottom line. Food is a drug. It's as powerful as any pharmaceutical you'll ever put in your body. And people don't really look at it that way. And once you understand that and deal with food on that level, you know, you wouldn't go around popping a bunch of pills all day long that were given to you for a purpose to help you be healthy. Food is given to you for a purpose to help you be healthy. So why would you go around treating food, you know, as if it were anything other than what it is? Mm-hmm. It's a drug. Mm-hmm. It causes a hormonal and chemical response in your body based upon what you put in, how much, how often, when, and all those sorts of things. And that sounds very complicated, but it isn't. It's the easiest thing in the world. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah. I am speaking from experience. There's good news and bad news about going to lunch with Clark. The good news is you will eat healthy. The bad news is you will pick up the check.
Exactly. And I've never had to buy lunch with you, and I am eternally grateful for that. And I will never pick up lunch with you, so we know that going into the future. I don't want to have you. Yeah.
That's established. So the relationship that people have to food is critical. And if you've never really thought about it, Clark, I suppose it's important to do some soul searching on that. Is that true?
You need to. And like I said, you need to determine your why.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes through thoughtfulness. It comes through prayer. It comes through having an understanding of, like I said, what your triggers are. And that doesn't come in a day. That doesn't come in a moment. But listen, it is so worth the energy and the effort that you put forth. And I don't want anyone that's listening to think that this is a lost cause or they don't have any hope, because they do. I've seen people time and time again through working with them and through having them be accountable. You know, a mentor of mine once said, you're only committed to what you confess. So if you confess to somebody what your issues are with food and why you do the things that you do, and you have them become your accountability partner, your success is going to go through the roof. Just like, you know, in life, you know, you are my accountability partner in life. You know a lot of things about me that other people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel confident to share those with you, because I know that you really are going to give me solid advice. You're not going to judge me. You're not going to look at me any differently other than I'm a flawed individual who needs help from people who have information. And that's why there are, you know, programs out there that have that accountability factor in them, because they understand the benefit of that aspect of the healing process that people need to go through when they're dealing with food, you know, type of situations.
We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Live the Promise. This is Bill Arnold sitting in for Susie Larson. We're talking to Clark Bartram today. We're going to be back another half hour with Clark. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute. This is Live the Promise. Bill Arnold sitting in for Susie today, and we're talking to Clark Bartram, and Clark is a fitness expert. He knows a lot about health, diet, nutrition, and a very devoted follower of Jesus. You know, Clark, one of the things I really want to talk about today, and I've been thinking about this all day, is I want to talk about the problems that we have with our body images. And I think in our current culture, you know, with kids that have Facebook pages with 600 pictures on it, and that's just from the weekend, you go, I think we're kind of obsessed now about how we look, how we're coming across. You know, I think I probably, I mean, the amount of selfies kids are taking nowadays and the obsession they have with how they look. And, you know, every image you look at professionally has been Photoshopped to some degree. And I just want to talk about body images and how bad it is in our culture today.
Yeah, you know, so I've transitioned. I'm in my car now, and I'm on my speakerphone, and my wife is with me, you know, Anita, so she's listening in as we talk. So she might even chime in here if she felt something.
You might want to pick up, Clark. I think you want to pick up.
Yeah?
Not be on speakerphone, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just that I'm driving, and I don't want to get arrested.
Oh, that's right. Okay, well, let Anita drive.
Yeah.
Right.
But I'll get arrested for you.
All right,
so
thanks.
Anyway, yeah, you know, it's funny. I was looking yesterday at a study that was done by some university in London. They talked about how people do so many selfies. They say a lot of these people might be dealing with some sort of mental disorder, mainly body dysmorphia, because they're so concerned and they have to constantly be looking at these images to feel good about themselves because of the feedback that they get from people online. Oh, you look so good. You're so beautiful. You know, all of this information that's being shared back and forth between people is what they feed off of. So there's certainly, I think, a whole lot more of that going on today because of social media and because of all of the instant feedback that we get from people in the sense that we need that, you know, that sense of accomplishment and that we look good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's important that we understand that that's not how God sees us. You know, if we're looking at this from a Christian perspective and an understanding that God didn't make any junk, you know, and God made us specifically for a reason, and that if we can really focus on ourselves and determine our why and deal with our issues with food and understand that we don't need to be a fitness model or a bikini model in order to be effective in life and to be a great parent and all those sorts of things, it helps us deal with the fact that we're never going to live in our 23-year-old body again. We're never going to have the perfect body. And like you said, a lot of images, with the exception of mine, are Photoshopped in the magazines,
yeah.
You know, because that is what the media wants to put out, images of perfect bodies in order to get us to buy the product that they're selling.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they instantly
now,
try to
create... It's really mixed up.
Yeah. I mean, advertisers try to create a constant sense of dissatisfaction with ourselves that will buy their products. And it seems to me kids today have a hyper awareness of everything, and cosmetic surgery is even getting down to a younger and younger age. And people are, you know, kids are finding themselves, you know, I see kids going to prom and I think they look like they're on the cover of a glamour magazine. And I just think sexualization of kids is just getting younger and younger, and it has to do a lot with body image.
You know, I say this to the people that I counsel online with the program that I'm doing. People are so obsessed with scale weight. I tell people, throw away the scale. It's not important. In our culture, we've emphasized the outer appearance so much that we really don't put any bearing on who we are inside, what contribution we bring to the world, what a great parent we are, what a great worker we are, friend. You know, there are so many other things that we offer this life that we live that are not measured by how we look or what clothes we wear or what the scale weight says about us. And if we could turn that around in our culture, we would be so much better off emotionally speaking, because people tend to get down on themselves if they don't measure up to the things that you just said, society standards for what we think we need to be. You know, and I've often blamed myself for having, you know, kids come to me and say, Clark, if I could only look like you. And my first comment is, no, that's not important. You need to be the best version of you that you can be, regardless of how that ends up looking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could be 20 pounds overweight, but if you're giving your best and you're eating right and you're not throwing in the towel, you definitely are, you know, fulfilling your purpose in what God called you to do. And that's live the healthiest life you possibly can, because then you're as effective in all the other areas that we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a million different diet and exercise programs that people read about. They feel overwhelmed. They see things on TV and they go, well, maybe I'll try that. And what they really need is getting to the foundation, learning the basics, and just sticking with it and making it what I call a non-negotiable. I mean, because when you allow an exception in your day, usually your exception is going to be what kills you. Like, well, I'm a little tired. I didn't get a great night's sleep, so I don't think I'll work out today. So you're making an exception, and usually that's what kills you. Isn't it safe to say you've got to make a commitment to a program and do it regardless of how you feel?
You have to, but here's the key to that. And what I found with the people that I work with is if you don't go into it knowing that you're going to mess up sometime, you're going to cheat and have something that you shouldn't eat.
Mm-hmm.
Do not stress. Do not get overwhelmed. Do not think that you need to start over again. Do not think that you're a failure. Realize that you're a human. You're flawed. You're not going to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. And that if you understand what stress does to your body, it raises the cortisol levels in your body. Cortisol is a stress hormone. That stress hormone will suppress your body's ability to burn fat efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
So relax. If people can walk away with one word to use to approach a fitness lifestyle, I would have to say the word is relax. Because when I listen to people and I talk to them, I can feel the stress in the words that they're typing to me online.
Mm-hmm.
And I just tell them, stop, settle down, relax. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. You'll never live in a perfect body. It does not exist. But what does exist is a path to health that if you choose to go down it with the right mindset, then you will absolutely be successful. And success manifests itself in different ways for different people. And what you need to start understanding is learning to determine what your non-scale victories are. We place so much emphasis on the scale, and that thing is wrong half the time. It's up, it's down, it's made somewhere in China. It's not accurate, not the Chinese, you know, nothing like that. I'm not being disrespectful, but what I'm saying is it's not accurate.
Yeah,
not accurate to the point where it should be determining how you feel each and every day because you jumped on it in the morning and you're happy because it's down or you're sad because it's up. What are your non-scale victories?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel better? Do you have more energy? Did you get off blood pressure pills? Are you nicer to your kids because you're not so angry that you're, you know, not feeling good anymore?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that you can celebrate that are non-scale victories. So relax and learn to celebrate the non-scale victories. And like you said, accept the non-negotiables. You know, this is something that you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm. So if I haven't exercised in a long time, and there might be a listener that's saying, gosh, what would I do just to not feel overwhelmed or get intimidated? What would be a good first step that would just give me some confidence to move forward?
Here's something that every single person can do right now, unless they are bound to a wheelchair, and then I have something for them as well.
Okay.
If they're listening and you're sitting on a chair and you're in a place right now where you can stand up, stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Now sit back down. Now repeat that 10 times and breathe while you're doing it and do it with intention. Focus your mind on your muscles in your legs. Focus your mind on your muscles in your butt.
Mm-hmm.
Focus your mind on your heart pumping. If you do that, you just did one set of 10 repetitions of squats. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
Now all you have to do is repeat that consistently and add to it when you feel the timing is right for you to add to it. And when I go and speak at events, that's what I do. I usually do a workout. And for the people who didn't show up to my workout, I say, everyone stand up who didn't show up to my workout this morning. And I say, sit back down, stand back up, sit back down. By the time I do that three times, they realize this guy's making me work out now because I didn't show up to his workout.
Mm-hmm.
That's how easy it is. You know,
it's that
simple. And then for someone who might be in a wheelchair right now and they can't use their legs, curl your arms up and down, you know, and if you can't curl your arms up and down, breathe in and out 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
That is a part of exercise as well. So there's a way that we can all do this, and it's just a matter of choosing to do it and doing it consistently.
So I've heard it said lately that sitting is the new smoking. So I think your little piece of advice right now is really appropriate. I mean, something as simple as just don't sit there for 45 minutes or an hour straight. Get up, sit down, get up, sit down. Just keep moving. Make it a regular part of your day. Don't be sedentary for too long.
Exercise is movement. That's all exercise is. A lot of times we take a look at exercise and we think we need to join a gym. We need to go lift heavy weights. Exercise is movement. So if you want to jump up and down, if you want to dance, if you want to jog, if you want to, you know, do the twist, you know, whatever it is, if you're moving more than you did the day before or 5 minutes before, now you are exercising. And that's all you really need to do. It gets the blood flowing. It gets the endorphins flowing in your body. There's a cascade of hormonal effects that happen when you start to move. The body is such an amazing organism, and it will only adapt to the stresses that are placed on it. So if you don't do anything, if you're smoking being the new sitting, your body's going to shut down to the point where it's like, okay, guys, I got this. She's just sitting. But once you start standing up and sitting down 10 times, it's going to go, whoa, whoa, hold up. She's doing something we're not used to. Kick in, nerves, do that. Fire, hormones, go off. Everyone, go to work. And then this cascade of hormones happens, and then you start feeling better. Yeah, there's a little bit of soreness, but that's okay. You know what I mean? It's worth what we're doing in order to get all of the added benefits that we should through exercise. So in addition to relaxing, you want to look at exercise as something that can be fun and not laborious and painful in its nature. It is something that we do because we move every day as humans. And if we learn how to move more efficiently, we're going to be better off as we age.
Okay. So you just gave a really wonderful practical piece of advice for people. They could do something right away. What is one other mistake people might be making that they could reverse effective immediately? And this is kind of a setup question. I kind of think I know the answer, but I'm just going to see if you're going to jump on it or not.
Well, are we talking physically or emotionally or mentally?
No,
or...
I'm talking physically. Well, maybe I'll
physically?
Just yeah, maybe I'll just say it. I think we all have issues with hydration. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I have a bottle of water in between my legs right now, and I'm driving. And actually, when we jumped in the car, the first thing my wife did was she handed me a water bottle and said, "This is for you."
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we look at all the biblical references there are to water, and we realize that our body is over 75% water, and our brain's over 80% water, and you know, it's vital that we consume water. And you know, iced tea is not water, diet soda is not water, wine is not water, milk is not water. Water is water. So that's what you need to consume on a daily basis. And people say, how much? I always just say half your body weight in ounces.
Mm-hmm.
And you will be making more trips to the bathroom because you are hydrating your body more. And here's the mistake a lot of people make, Bill, and I think it especially runs true with women. They think because they're retaining water that they don't want to drink any more water, when the opposite is true. You need to drink more water if you're retaining water in order to flush the water that you're retaining.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, kind of counterproductive to not drink water when you should be. That's the way we're designed. That, matter of fact, it's raining here in California, so water is vital to life,
yeah.
Period.
All right, Clark, we're going to take a little short break. When we come back, we have one more segment with Clark Bartram. You're listening to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold sitting in today for Susie Larson. She'll be back tomorrow. That's the good news. Be back in just a minute.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Welcome back to Live the Promise. That's great. I don't know who that is, but great song. We're talking to Clark Bartram. You're listening to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold is sitting in for Susie today. And Clark is a fitness expert or a fitness encourager. He's got he's probably been on the cover of 150-plus international fitness and bodybuilding magazines. He's written books. He's a trainer, encourager, speaker, motivator, evangelist, kind of does it all. And he's a longtime friend of mine, so if I say something, I'm not being mean. I'm just talking to Clark. Clark, we were talking just before the break about how much we need water, and I think sometimes we lose the knowledge that water is going to actually give us energy, isn't it?
Absolutely. If you're hydrated, you know, you have cellular hydration, and if you're dehydrated, you're obviously not going to get the same benefit from being fully hydrated, and part of that benefit is, like you said, energy. So what do people do? You being the perfect example, you go for a pot of coffee.
Thank you.
And you drink more coffee for energy, which does what? Dehydrates you even more than you are. So for every cup of coffee you have, you can add another 8 ounces of water to that equation that I just gave you of half your body weight in ounces. So if you're, you know, 100 pounds, you're drinking 50 ounces of water and you drink a cup of coffee, now you have to add another 8 ounces. So mm-hmm. you have to have 58 ounces of water in order to be hydrated.
Sounds like crazy talk. Anyway, I'm not giving up my coffee. If that's what you're trying to do is talk me out of my coffee, ain't going to happen. You hear me?
I didn't think so.
You hear me?
It was worth a shot.
All right. You can say you're sorry for bringing up the coffee thing.
I'm sorry.
All right. There you go.
I love you.
All right. I love you, too. We're going to talk about now, I want to ask you about, which I think is the big magic formula for health, and it's the 5-letter word, starts with an S. What is it?
Magic formula, 5-letter word, starts with an S.
Sleep.
Can I buy a vowel?
Sleep. 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 Sleep.
You got me thinking, Bill.
I've given you the answer like 5 times. I've given you the answer.
What?
You went sleep.
Oh, okay.
Can you not hear?
Yeah.
Don't make me come over there.
I got Anita talking to me, pointing out where the cops are. It's raining, so I'm sorry. I can't think.
All right, let's talk about sleep and how it relates to fitness.
Sleep relates to fitness in a huge way because, especially as we age, if we are exercising and we are doing all these things that we're talking about, if you're not recovering efficiently, you're not putting yourself in a position where you can effectively do that exercise again tomorrow in a way that you're going to gain benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
So sleep is vital. You know, a lot of experts will say 8 hours a night. If you're getting 6 good, solid, uninterrupted sleep, then you're probably going to be, you know, efficient in that part of your fitness regimen.
Mm-hmm.
So focus on that, you know. And again, when we have interrupted sleep, it's definitely going to have ill effects on different areas of our life. And desiring to exercise is certainly one of those areas that's going to be affected because you're coming home from work, and the last thing you want to do is think about going to the gym because you're tired, especially during this time of the year when you have, this seasonal affective disorder, if you will, where it gets darker earlier. You know, we're affected by this season, and we tend to get a little bit more depressed when we're sitting around in the dark. We have no energy. So that cascades, just like hormones cascade when you're exercising. You know, the opposite can happen as well. So you have to fight against that by getting the right amount of sleep and not falling victim to wanting to be in the house at 5 o'clock in your pajamas, just going to sleep because it's dark out already.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's another thing that you've kind of said that's upset me. What's wrong with being in your pajamas at 5 o'clock?
Well, I guess as long as you're exercising in your pajamas, that's fine, or doing something productive, but certainly not going to sleep at 5. That's when you have dinner normally, I think, right?
Yeah, so obviously, especially in Minnesota winters and in the upper Midwest where we broadcast, there is certainly, it's got not only, it's darker sooner, but it's cold and dark. So we're up against a lot. So it takes, after a long day of work, you come home and say, now I have to change and go to the gym. It's a big challenge for a lot of people. I don't think anyone is going to say, no, that's easy. I think it's hard. And
it's very hard.
Yeah.
Listen, I get paid to do this. This is my job. And there are days when I don't want to go into the gym. And that's really, really what I want people to walk away and understand, that the act of going to the gym is not something that everybody enjoys, but the results that we get as a result of that are certainly worth the effort that we put into it. So, you know, you could do exercise at home. You don't need to go to the gym. Don't let that be a hurdle that gets in your way from doing something that gives you the benefits of exercise. You can go online, you can go to YouTube and find a million different workouts that you could do at home with a milk jug or some sort of resistance that's going to help you, you know, get the muscle mass that you need, have the bone mass density that you want, and all that sort of thing. So it's vital that you find a way to do something. And it only takes 15 minutes. It really only takes about 15 minutes to get a great workout.
Mm-hmm. So really, you have to just be completely creative. You have to say, I might just stay home and find an exercise either online or something that a friend instructed me to do. And the big challenge is what happens at the dinner table and what happens at the snack table and what kind of habits you've gotten into. I've always said there are some habits you have to learn and some habits you have to unlearn. And if you always associate, what fires together wires together. So if you go to a movie and always eat popcorn, well, you're going to have a problem separating those two. If you watch TV and eat a lot of snack foods, you're going to have a difficulty maintaining a healthy body weight.
Those are triggers.
Those are triggers.
And we talked about triggers earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. So what kind of advice do you have for people to break habits? Because obviously that's a tough one for people. I like, you know, people say I like to, you know, eat my Tostitos while I watch sports at night. And the truth is they probably don't need that extra 800 calories. I'm not picking on any particular food, but I mean, to sit there and take in all these calories at night watching TV, what's a nice encouraging way to help them break one of those habits?
Well, again, I think the first thing we need to do is realize that we're human and we all enjoy that sort of thing. You know, I would be lying if I didn't say I didn't enjoy Tostitos. I could eat a whole bag at one sitting, especially if you put some hummus there, and Anita's right next to me shaking her head. Yeah, like when I buy it, it's gone instantly.
Mm-hmm.
But I have the privilege of, you know, and the, you know, I'm very fortunate in the sense that I have a lot of muscle on my body, so my body will metabolize that a lot faster than someone who doesn't. So, you know, allowing yourself the freedom to be a human is the first and foremost important thing, in my opinion. And as far as breaking the habit, it's really, you know, it's hard for people to break habits. We need to understand that. So give yourself the time that you need in order to do that. There, you know, there's these formulas. Oh, it takes 21 days to break a habit. Oh, you do something 3 days. A lot of experts have different things. I don't care how long it takes you to break your habit. It's worth the effort that you put forth, like I've been saying time and time again, to discipline yourself to not do those things that trigger you, or understanding those triggers and then heading them off at the pass. You know, being preemptive and knowing, okay, this is going to happen if I sit down. I know I'm going to want this. So maybe don't have those things available in your house.
Mm-hmm.
If you know it's 7 o'clock, you sit down to watch a television show and you typically go to grab a bag of chips, don't have those chips available so readily there. And if you make the effort to get up and drive and go get them because you want them that bad, now we have another level of understanding how deep this is going in us.
Yeah.
And some people have that, and they do struggle deeper than others.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really up to you to determine how much effort you need to put into this. But more importantly, if you've determined your why through prayer, through meditation, through thinking about this and really understanding how important it is for you to be healthy. I want to share a really quick story. I know we're going to end here soon. But years ago, I had a television show called American Health and Fitness. And I shared this the last time we talked, Bill. And I had 6 fitness models on there, all by world standards, had perfect bodies. And I had a wardrobe consultant who was probably 4 feet 11, 200 pounds. I walked into the wardrobe trailer. On one end were the fitness models. The other end was Sally. The fitness models were down there trying on their clothes, all complaining about dimples on their bodies and how they didn't look good in clothes and how this made them look fat. So I quickly moved from that situation. I went down. Sally was cooking her lunch, and I want everyone to hear this. Sally said, I asked her, I said, what are you making? And it was red vegetables, yellow, green peppers. It's beautiful, and some chicken. She said, chicken and vegetables. And she looked at me, and the Bible says the eyes are the window to the soul. And it's like she looked into my soul, Bill, and she said this, and I'll never forget it for as long as I live. She said, Clark, this is the body that God gave me, and I'm going to live in it healthy. And that is the most powerful statement I've ever heard in my entire life. You got 6 perfect models on one end of the room. Society would say have the body that everyone wants. And you have somebody on the other end of the room who's 4 feet 11, 200 pounds. But she had the most wholesome, beautiful attitude I've ever seen in any person in my life because she said, this is the body that God gave me, and I'm going to live in it healthy. And if we could all get that and run with it, I think that would be a successful show.
Yeah, it's being grateful, having gratitude for what God's given us, and knowing that our hearts are wind-up clocks, and one day they will just stop ticking. And to obsess about little tiny details of your life that make you miserable seems like you're putting way too much attention on yourself. And I think we learn in Scripture in the New Testament, you know, Paul says you should think of yourself less, think of other people, invest in other people, stop obsessing about yourself. And I think it's a good word, Clark.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah. So I've loved having you on the show. I know you're on your way to L.A. Have a great day. Thanks for being a great guest. You've been listening to Live the Promised. The Promise, if you want to listen to a podcast of this interview, you can go on our mobile-friendly website at myfaithradio.com. And tomorrow, Susie's back in studio, and we're all excited that she's going to be back. And I think tomorrow she's talking with Tessa Afshar. Am I saying that right? I think I'm saying that right. And it's about her novel based on the life of Ruth. And we'll also hear from Chris Fabry as well. So that's what's on the schedule for tomorrow. It's been awfully fun sitting in for Susie. Thanks so much, Susie, for letting me be here on your behalf. And thank you to everyone on behalf of Ted and Grace. It's been great. Thanks very much, everyone. Have a great day. God bless.